rocks and even the dirt had a shiny tone to them like polished obsidian. The effect was startling, and we were genuinely baffled. We had hiked through acres of sagebrush and buff and beige sandy ridges to reach the top. That was all typical desert terrain. But now, at the summit, we stood on what appeared to be burnt rock. What could have caused that? The sun was rising. The Bedouins below were probably awake and steeping their breakfast tea. The early morning was quickly slipping away, so we collected as many loose rocks as our packs would hold for future laboratory analysis. Larry seemed utterly mystified. This has got to be a volcanic peak. I could think of only one way to find out. If it's volcanic, I said, then the rock inside will be black too, right? Makes sense. I picked up a watermelon-sized piece of charred rock, lifting it over my head and slamming it down hard on the sharp edge of a boulder. It cracked open. My back protested, but I needed to know. We leaned in to look. The slick black exterior encased a reddish-tan core of ordinary brown granite. Larry broke the silence. Well, I guess that answers that question. But it didn't add up. What type of heat could melt the surface of a rock to black marble, glazed and smooth to the touch like buffed opal, yet leave the underlying granite intact? Clearly, something intensely hot had torched the mountaintop. But what heat source could be potent enough to create a black rock rind while leaving a natural tan marrow? Larry was handling the rocks like fine china. There's something in the Bible about this. I took out my Bible and flipped through the pages. Here it is, I said, Exodus 19, 16 through 19. I read aloud the account of how 3 days after the Exodus party arrived at Mount Sinai, the mountain was mysteriously cloaked in a thick cloud, the skies above filled with thick clouds, thunder, and lightning. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. There was more, but those few words said it all. Seeing the rock and holding it, I could understand why the Israelites had been so frightened that they begged Moses to speak with God while they retreated to a safer distance. A holy, omnipotent God is an unbearable reality to an unruly people. And it was unbearable to me. I thought of the forgery I had been a part of, the deceit of self-seeking stubbornness, the bullying aside of restraint and protocol to enter Saudi Arabia and strong-arm my way to the sacred soil. I was here illegally, at a place so holy that God had told the Israelites not to touch the dirt at the base of the mountain or they would die. Exodus 19:12. Shaken, I turned to Larry and urged, "Let's go. Now."